So I know you know that a lot goes into doing a self-submitted video, or commonly known as a self-tape. And I've done a lot of podcasts, videos about what to do to make your self-tape look the best it can look. But you know what? We haven't spent enough time on this. Mistakes that happen in your acting when you do your self-submitted videos or your self-tapes. So that's today's episode. I'm calling it Your Self-Tape Acting Mistakes. Easy enough. On today's episode of Casting Actors Cast.
This is Casting Actors Cast. Each episode takes you behind the scenes and answers your questions about the business of show. Please don't forget to subscribe and like wherever you get your podcasts. Now, here's the host of Casting Actors Cast, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach with the McCorkle Group in New York. How are you? I hope you're having a good day. It's a really great day for me today, and I'm really glad to be able to present these podcasts for you today. And today we're talking about your self-tape acting mistakes. These are things that I see happening almost all the time in your self-submitted videos or your self-tapes. The reason I have to kind of qualify that is, you know, if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I say self-tape, but there's no tape involved, right? You know, digital video auditions is just really much more difficult to say. So I say self-tape. So anyway, we're going to cover that, and I'm going to give you some very specific ideas. This is going to be a content-rich podcast for you today. But first, as you know, this is that moment of the podcast where I get to thank you so much for being part of Casting Actors Cast. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, and it's been going extremely well. I love doing these podios, these podcast videos. If you haven't checked out the YouTube channel, Casting Actors Cast on YouTube, please do so. I'm getting a lot of really nice responses, and I would love to have people come and take a look at watching me do these podcasts live, so to speak, on video. I upload them to YouTube, but then you get to see me talking, you see some body language, and I throw in some graphics and that kind of thing. Also, if you want to get a hold of me via email, you can do that at castingactorscast@gmail.com. And if you go to the website, by the way, castingactorscast.com, you're going to see a free downloadable PDF book. And I've got a free video as well. This is a private video, and it's called Casting Director Secrets. And you don't want to miss that. And it's only for filling out that form called Dive Into the Talent Pool when you go to the website. I know I say this every time I do a patio, but I just wanted to reiterate that now, in addition to the book I'm doing voiceover work called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the voiceover workshop for professional actors, you can now get this free 20-minute video on casting director secrets, what they don't want you to know. But guess what? I'm going to tell you. So those are all free. Just my way of saying thank you for being on board with Casting Actors Cast. I would love for you to like and subscribe and to comment. You know, it's your viewership and it's your questions that I can answer that help actually drive the podcast, this patio, podcast video. So please do me the favor, send me some questions, and a special promotion as well I wanted to talk to you about before we jump into the subject at hand. So in addition to the free book and the free video that I'm giving you, I really am making a request today for a live video audition from you. In other words, I would love for you to send me your audition video. Now, it can be a monologue, it can be a scene, it can be something that you've been requested to send in and you want another set of eyes. Because here's the idea that I have, but it's only going to work with your help. And that is, if you go either to the website or you go to the email, castingactorscast@gmail.com, you send me a link to your audition video. That will help me take a look at your work, and on the air, I will evaluate your video. I'll give you some feedback, I'll give you some tips, I'll give you some hints. The only thing that you're doing is you're allowing me to share this with the audience so that you can help other actors. I promise you some really decent advice that's going to improve the quality of your auditions, and we get to help the community by sharing your work with other people. I think that that sounds like a really cool idea, but again, I can only do that if I have your help. So if you want a free audition evaluation from me on Casting Actors Cast, the podcast and video, then please go ahead and send me your video. Now, if you think this is a terrible idea, if you don't want to subject yourself to being critiqued by a casting director on the air, that's fine. This is no pressure. But for those of you who really want to improve your game, who really want to improve the quality of your work, I promise you I'll give you a fair evaluation, and you just need to allow me to be able to share that with others. So that's the promo. I did it in the last podcast, but I did it towards the end of the patio, so I'm not sure it reached everybody that I would love to be able to reach. So go ahead and consider sending me your video. This is also that moment of the podcast where I get to do my shout out to my good friend at Actors Connection. Actors Connection is doing a tremendous amount of programming online. So online classes with professionals in the industry, that is agents, casting directors, managers, professional actors, voiceover producers, voiceover agents. There's all kinds of really great programming online right now at actorsconnection.com/New York. So do check them out. Thank you for that. All right, so let's get to the subject at hand. You know, it's really amazing that your self-tape acting mistakes, I know that sounds like it's going to be harsh, but there are 5 basic mistakes that I see in the videos that I'm receiving as a casting director. So I see tons and tons of your auditions, and I evaluate them, I take notes on them, and if you're right for the project and your audition is decent, then I'm going to pass that along to the producer or the artistic director so that we can maybe give you a call back, maybe even cast you in the project. So that's how it works now, especially in the COVID nightmare universe that we are living in. But here's the thing, I see so many common issues that I go, you know what? If they had just done this, then it would even be better. So that's why I wanted to do this podcast today. Also, I have done a lot of podcasts and patios, even relatively recently, on the technical aspect of doing a good self-submitted video, self-tape. And I would encourage you that if you need some help with the technical aspects of putting together a decent audition that you can submit to casting directors, then I really strongly encourage you to please go on back and check out some of those past episodes, because you're going to get a lot more information on the technical aspects. Today, I want to focus and shift our focus on the acting, because it's those acting moments that I see getting dismissed or lost or not even happening in some of your scenes. So these are 5 suggestions that I'm going to make to you to at least consider incorporating into your next video submission. Okay, are you ready? All right, number 1. One of the biggest mistakes is the placement of your reader. Now, if you have a reader in the room with you during your audition, it's really vital that you test out different placements of that reader in your space that you are doing your auditioning. Here's why. It's so common that the reader is standing right next to the camera so that your eye line is right close to the camera so that I can see your acting work. That's great. The problem is because the reader is standing so close to the device that you're recording it on, I oftentimes will really hear the reader rather well, and then I'm not hearing you very well. That's because you don't have the proper microphone. So a lavalier mic, and again, I know this is technical, but it affects your acting, right? Because a lavalier microphone, that's one of those small microphones that you can plug into your lapel and then plugs directly into your device, probably your cell phone, I imagine. That's what, if in fact, that's what you are using, then if that is really too hard for you and you don't happen to have a lavalier mic, but I would hope that you invest in one shortly, as soon as possible, If not, then put your reader in another place. It's not a bad idea to move your reader equal distance from where you are to where the microphone is. That means that you probably are not going to be focused and acting with your reader. Now, that might feel a little weird at first, but it is so much better to place that reader further away from the microphone, and then you just simply have to project and focus and look at the actor, pretend that the actor is 3 to 4 inches away from the left or the right of the lens of your camera. So, reader placement and recording so that there is an equal balance between your work and the reader. Now, if you do have a lavalier microphone, then you are going to hear the reader coming from a distance. That's not terrible at all. The focus should be on you. But again, too many times I just hear the reader really well. And, you know, to be brutal about it, sometimes the reader isn't very great. And so it really does take away from me being able to evaluate your good acting. So that's number one, is the reader placement during your recording. I think the second one that I need to talk to you about is almost equally important, and that is I see actors watching themselves. Now, this is kind of hard to talk about because many times you're not aware that you're doing this. But I see that the actor is literally almost watching themselves in the scene. And that's because the actor isn't completely immersed, invested in what they are doing in the character that they are playing. And so that is very, very, very important. And sometimes I think it's a mental thing, because if you're not comfortable in front of the camera, like a lot of us aren't, I mean, a lot of us feel not that comfortable, but that's something that you're going to have to get over. But I don't think many actors understand that the camera is a non-objective observer. The camera is not making judgments about you. And so if you think of the camera as this intelligent device that's making judgments and decisions, then your head is in the wrong place. The camera is a non-objective observer of what's taking place. It's an inanimate object. So why would you give weight and value to the inanimate object? My advice is to really think about that and then place yourself in the room, in the scene. That person that you're addressing, if it's a scene, is just 3 to 4 inches away from the left or the right of the lens of the camera so that you have a good eye line. And that's it. It's not that you can say, okay, I'm going to just imagine that the camera's not there. That's kind of hard to do, even though we all have fertile imaginations because we're creative people. Don't make the mistake of just trying to pretend it isn't there. It is an object that is just simply in the place that it is in. And it is non-judgmental. It's not evaluating what you're doing at any given moment. And I see actors doing that all the time, that they are thinking they're being judged almost. And so they are therefore also judging their acting. Well, when you do that, that sort of layered, dispersed focus, then your acting suffers. To be fully immersed in the choices that you're making, in the character that you're making, is the goal. Now, you might not feel it's 100% perfect, but it really is something to strive for, to try and create a world in which it's just you and the other, if there is another in the scene. It might be a monologue, so that makes that kind of a moot point. But still, your focus has to be to that other. And even if it is a monologue, you're still talking to a person. So really creating that person, really projecting that energy right in front of you is going to serve you really, really well. Hopefully that'll help disperse some of that phobia that many of us have about being in front of a camera. So now let's move on to number three. And this is also a big one, and it's related a little bit to the distraction of being on camera. But number three, it's amazing to me how I do not see the actor creating moments in their scene. In other words, The reason that you have a reader in a two-hander scene is so that you can react, so that you can have beats, moments where you're contemplative, ooh, good word, where you're working out what is being said and then you're reacting to what is being said. It also will help show your listening, because otherwise, why wouldn't we just give you a script with just your lines? No. We put another person in the scene so that we can have and understand your relationship to the other person in your acting. So when I see moments that aren't being created because the actor is just giving me the words, just saying the words, then I have a different kind of reaction about your work. I don't say, oh, they're untalented. But I do say, you know what? I just wish that I saw that actor giving me more beats, more moments, more richness within the context of the scene. Think about your reactions. Think about the beats. Think about listening when you have a two-hander, two persons in a scene, two people in a scene really can have a fair and even exchange. And the other, along those same lines, is creating moments doesn't mean that you are disconnected from the reader. It means that you are invested in the reader and you have an empathetic back and forth going on during the course of the scene. I hope that makes sense to you. Number four. This is something I see, and it's really kind of weird because it's sort of the pendulum swings in two ways about this. I either see an actor who's underprepared and therefore just, you know, not having spent enough time with the material, or they're over-rehearsed. They've worked on it so much that they've lost all objectivity in their ability to evaluate their own work. So underprepared, you know, how do you know when you've worked on it enough? That's something I wish I could be of more help to you, because I think it's an individual thing. If you have some ideas about how this character should be played, if you're investing yourself into the character so that you're making really interesting choices, that might come really easily to you, in which case you won't necessarily have to sort of do hours and hours of preparation for the character. Being under-rehearsed means that you think you have it done, you think you got this, and then you go in and then suddenly it's like, what the hell? What am I doing? So I don't want you to feel unrehearsed. What I do want you to do is do enough work so that you can make interesting choices without setting those choices. I hope that makes sense. And I'll get a little bit more about that in a second. But under-rehearse is a terrible feeling. It's just because maybe you're saying to yourself, oh, I just don't have enough time, or I have to get this out in a few minutes, or I think I got this, so I'm not going to worry about it. I played this kind of part before. Any of those choices are there. But then when the actual recording of it happens, you freak out. And that's why you're either underprepared, or the opposite is true, is that you keep doing take after take after take after take. And so now you've done maybe 10 takes. You're exhausted. You've spent a lot of time in front of the camera. You've lost all objectivity because you're not able to evaluate what's working and what's not working, right? So here's the rule I have about that. Make sure that you give yourself the rule to do only 3 or 4 takes. That's it. Did I just make you crazy right now? Because actors are like, no, the beauty of self-tape is that you can do multiple takes until you get it right. Well, let me just tell you, if you're doing multiple takes, you're probably not going to get it right. My sense is that if you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to do this in 3, maybe 4 takes, now the adrenaline is a little bit raised, just like it would be in an audition. Now you're not conditioning yourself to the mental process of saying, oh, I can do this until I get it right. Because you know what? In a live audition, you maybe have a couple of times to do it. So why condition yourself to do it multiple times when you should really be in the habit of doing it maybe 3 or 4 times for your self-tape? Plus, after 5 takes, right? you've lost all objectivity. Now, unless something disastrous, technical, or, you know, the microphone wasn't plugged in, or, you know, whatever can happen, that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about your sanity and your interesting choices. They're gone after about four takes, I promise you. So give yourself that rule, only 3 to 4 takes, please. Now let's move on to the next, and the final one is, you know, I see most of the time, I see literal interpretations of the script, and I don't see enriched choices. And by enriched choices, I mean that you've spent enough time in the script that you've got really a great idea about where your character is at. You've got a really good idea about the arc of the scene. You've got a really good idea about how you are transformed at the end of the scene than you were at the beginning of the scene. All of those things I know I've talked about in the past. But when I see a really good literal interpretation, my attitude is exactly that. I say, well, that was a good interpretation, but that was not about being interesting. That was about being literal. My suggestion is that you continually work at getting in touch with how you are unique. How your character, because if it's you, the actor, making the choices, is different, is unique, is rich. So enriching those choices by giving yourself a lot of opportunities about how to play it. Do the work, but then do not try to recreate what you rehearsed. Know the work well enough that any time you do a take, that something spontaneous, or something interesting, something unexpected can happen. That's when you know you've done a really, really good audition. Once you have gotten all of your technical aspects of your self-submitted videos together, now it's time to expend all of your energy and focus into the acting of your video. In other words, really invest in your character's behavior, like moments, reactions, connections, and then allow the scene to live on its own without recreating what you rehearsed is the best choice you can make for your audition. Because honestly, like I said just moments ago, being spontaneous is much more interesting than showing spontaneous. Being spontaneous is much more interesting than showing spontaneous. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to send me your audition video if you would like me to critique your self-tape on the air. And that email address again is castingactorscast@gmail.com. By the way, your support is meaning everything to me. Your feedback, your letters, all of that has been so wonderful. So please do me a favor. Could you please review? Could you like? Could you share? Could you contribute? Could you subscribe? In other words, if you show me some love, if I've helped you in any way, then I am so grateful. Please let me know what you thought about today's episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. Have a great day.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.